know that God has made His promises and that they are reliable and they can be stood upon no matter what may assault us. And that is one of the reasons why we're here today, is to be reminded of what God has communicated to us and even what He has promised us and how that can help us every day. We have visitors with us. We're very glad that you're here. And we welcome you to come back and join us anytime you have an opportunity. I know that this is a time of year when people are with family and things like that. And we so much appreciate you taking the time to be with us today. It's an encouragement to all of us here. Those of us who meet here on a regular basis, we believe something that is at the very center of who we are and what we're trying to do. We believe that there is no one like Jesus Christ. That He is the most unique one ever to walk on the earth. He's the most important one ever to live on earth. And what is it that makes Jesus great? Well, His deeds for sure. Even His miraculous deeds. His very identity as the Son of God for certain. And His sacrifice for us on the cross, most of all. And there are so many things about Jesus, so many characteristics that contribute to His greatness, and even combinations of those traits, that in their blending, in their combination, His greatness really shines. There's a statement made early in the Gospel of John in the first chapter about the Son of God coming in human flesh. And it says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory. Glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." Full of grace and truth. Grace. That means favor and goodness towards someone, even when they don't deserve it. Truth. That's the reality. That's the way things are and the way things should be. Full of grace and truth. What does this look like in Jesus? That He is the one who is completely full of grace and truth. Well, you can see that in Mark, the 10th chapter. I want you to go with me this morning and examine in the book of Mark, the 10th chapter, two incidents that vividly portray Jesus full of grace and truth. In Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 13, "And they were bringing children to Him, that He might touch them. And the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, He was indignant, and said to them, 'Let the children come to Me. Do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it.' And He took them in His arms and blessed them, laying His hands on them." His disciples thought Jesus was too busy, thought Jesus was too important, and that these children had nothing to do with why He was on earth. That He should not be giving them attention, and so He's stopping the others who are bringing children to Jesus. His disciples were wrong on two accounts. First of all, children are human beings too. They're people. And thus, they're important to Jesus. And that a childlike humility is a key characteristic for coming into His kingdom. On another occasion, when His disciples are arguing about who's important among them, He took a child and set the child in the midst of them and used the child as an object lesson and said, "Unless you humble yourself and become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven." It's the smallness of a child and a child's awareness of their smallness that is that characteristic that God is looking for those who would come into His kingdom, that humility. And so Jesus takes these little children and He holds them. Can you see that scene of Jesus speaking with and touching the children? Children require a gentle touch. Someone who is abrasive, someone who is tough, someone who is stern and cold. A child is not attractive to that person. A child's not comfortable with that person. That doesn't seem to be the case here. Not at all. Children need adults around them who will be patient and caring and protective. Jesus is the personification of all those things. But it's just one of many tender scenes. Many occasions where Jesus showed His tender touch. There's when Jesus heals the sick or heals the blind or the lame. There's when Jesus touches the leper. When He's moved with grief at the occasion of the death of Lazarus, when He sees Mary and Martha in their heartbroken state. There's that tender request He makes of the beloved disciple when Jesus Himself is dying on the cross for Him to take care of His mother. Jesus Christ has the most tender touch of all. And how we need that. We live in a rough world. An abrasive world. One that is harsh and cruel. We live in an impatient world and an unforgiving world. We live in a world where mercy is lacking. And for a lot of people that we encounter, we are a means to an end. To others, we are an obstacle to be pushed aside or even knocked down. And as we live in this hard world, we are fragile as humans. We have feelings and sensitivities, and we have fears, and we have uncertainties, and we have burdens, and we have pressures. Every human does. And we need Jesus' tender touch. We need to see that He is patient and that Jesus is long-suffering if we would just try to follow after Him. We need to be reminded that Jesus is merciful and that Jesus is forgiving. And we need to realize in the light of so many examples that we read about when Jesus interacts with people on earth, we need to realize and we need to believe that Jesus hurts when we hurt. That He wants what's best for us more than anybody else. That He gets us. And He sees what we are experiencing. And that He's for us more than anybody. The Bible teaches that Jesus can be our Savior, He can be our Shepherd, He can be our friend. That's how He's described. And He is the one with the tender touch, and there is never a reason to fear Him, going to Him, and dreading going to Him. He is the one whose tenderness welcomes us every single time to bring Him any burden, any problem we might have. He is great. Because He is tender. Boy, you see that with these children. But read on with me in Mark 10. And as He was setting out on His journey, a man ran up and knelt before Him and asked Him, "Good teacher, what must I do to have eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And He said to him, "Teacher, all these I have kept from my youth." And Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, "You lack one thing. Go, sell all that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Disheartened by the saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. What is Jesus doing to this man? All the gospel accounts put together, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, describe him as a man who was young and who was a ruler and who had great possessions. Which means he was a person of prominence and promise. And there is no reason to dispute what he claims here, Jesus does not, that he had faithfully followed commandments. And Jesus' words here are very unique. He did not generally say such things to people. He's not the only person he ever encountered who had possessions. He's not the only person he ever encountered who had significant possessions. We can identify some others. But what this conversation was about was drawing this man out and revealing to him what obstacles were in his way in following Christ and having what he required, what he requested, eternal life. He was a man who so valued his possessions that when he was confronted with having to give them up, he walked away from Jesus. He valued his things more than Christ and following after him. Why would Jesus speak to this man this way? Did you see what happened here? Jesus discouraged this man. This man came with sincere questions. He came with a good moral track record. But the English Standard says that the words of Jesus disheartened him. It's like he just reached inside and cut something from inside of him and yanked it out. These words hurt this man. He went away with sorrow. Why would Jesus want to say anything that would result in him walking away? Why wouldn't Jesus say something to him that would keep him nearby, no matter what it would have to be? Jesus says these words because these are the words this man needs to hear. Jesus was also a man of straight talk. These were truthful words. These were needed words. They hurt. They disheartened him. They pushed him away. But in spite of the painful nature of them, these were the words that he needed to hear to follow after Christ and get on the road to eternal life. You see, this is who Jesus is. He is a man who's known for his tender touch, but also for his straight talk. He has both. And we need both. I want you to see that these are not mutually exclusive. I think so often in our relationships, we think they are. And that sometimes we have one-dimensional relationships. Is that we are more than willing to practice one with certain people, but the other with other people, and we don't mix them. Or we think that one philosophy is the way to deal with people, and so we use that philosophy to the exclusion of the other. Not Jesus. I want you to see how not exclusive they are. Because buried in each of these incidents are both. I mean, the first incident, we have this scene in our minds of him receiving these children and blessing them and holding them and touching them. But in verse 14, we're told that he was indignant toward the disciples who had kept the children away. And he rebuked those disciples saying, "Don't forbid them to come to me. Don't hinder them." Straight talk. And then we're told right before Jesus delivers these hard words to the rich young ruler, that Mark's account in verse 21 says that Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said to him, he said what he said to the rich young ruler because he loved him. It is often love that requires tough talk. And it's firmness that makes it possible, you see, to really love. Love is a strong thing. And strength should be a loving thing. Maybe we're not even looking at two different things here. Maybe there shouldn't be a big giant and between those two. Maybe we're just looking at one thing. Well, we are. We're just looking at Jesus Christ. The sum total of Him. Jesus is all of this. And it's His completeness that makes Him great. The greatest of all. You know, in light of Jesus' tender touch and straight talk, we have to realize that this is all of Jesus, and we have to accept all this about Him. It's all or nothing. This exercise of looking at on one page of Mark's Gospel and seeing both of these aspects, you can almost do that on almost every page of the Gospels. With the exception of the beginning pages that set up His time on earth and the concluding pages about the events that resulted in His death, burial, and resurrection, and His ascension, that when you look at His ministry and His interaction with people, almost on every page of every gospel, you can see His tender touch and His straight talk. Both. Almost in the same breath, it seems. Indeed, there have been some through the ages who wanted to see Jesus and who have portrayed Jesus as being harsh and vengeful. And they wanted to portray Him as this overbearing Lord who wants to catch you and do you in. And that's not the Christ of the Gospels. And more commonly, especially in our age, people want a Savior, but they don't want a Lord. They want a Redeemer, but they don't want a King. People want Christ to change them, but Christ clearly taught, as the Bible does from the beginning, because humans always have a choice, Christ taught that for Him to change us, we have to come and submit to Him. We have to follow after Him. There has to be choices. There has to be actions on our part. And people want Christ to change them, but they don't want Christ to teach them the hard things necessary for change. You're never going to change for the better until you swallow some straight talk. And embrace that. And feel the pain of that. And like the rich young man here, this is why so many people walk away from Christ. This is why so many people shy away from Christ. They learn that Christ does have commandments and He has requirements and He has challenges and He even has rebukes. They don't want any of that. But you see, it's a package deal. Until you're willing to listen and accept the straight talk, you'll never know the great blessing of the tender touch. You imagine going to work. And, you know, every day you go into work, you know, your supervisor says, "You're doing such a great job. You're just, man, we're lucky to have you here. You're just great." And you say, "Oh, thank you. You know, it's good to be here. How's the company doing?" "Oh, company's doing great. Everything's just wonderful." And this goes on for months. One day you walk in and there are all these people packing up boxes. And you're like, "What's going on?" "Well, company's going under." "Well, yeah, but my numbers last week..." "Oh, your numbers really weren't that good last week." "Matter of fact, your numbers have not been that good ever. And the company just been choking and it's dead." I mean, you felt really good for a few months, didn't you? You thought you were something special. Part of something special. But that's not the way it was. Do you want to go to the doctor and them say, "Wow, look at your weight. Aren't you something to be 40-ish? Okay, that's not personal illustration. It was somebody else. "Look at that weight. Look at these numbers. Look at your blood work. Don't you look good?" And you're like, "Well, I've sort of been feeling this way." "Don't worry about it. You're fine. You know, don't think about those negative thoughts. You're probably fine." You know. And you're not fine. You go to the doctor to get the truth, to get help. And there is no help without the truth. You cannot succeed in anything, business-wise or what. You can't unless you deal with reality. Reality sometimes is tough and bitter. We need a tender touch from Jesus. We're so broken and we're so limited and we're so troubled and we need so much help from Him. But at the same time, that help has to come with straight talk. And we need to be like Him. We need to be tender people and tough people. We need to be truthful people and gentle people. This requires a lot of wisdom to strike the balance. And I suppose it is helpful to think in terms of making sure we have enough of this and making sure we have enough of that and we have it at the right time, the right place, the right person. But I think we got to just keep looking at Jesus and not look at this as either or, but all as one. You know, it's easy to pop off toward other people with tough talk and just blurt out what we think and what we want to say. But there's a difference between what we think a person ought to hear and what teaching and rebuke they really need. The second one requires us to unselfishly consider who they are, where they're at, and what they need, rather than just get something off our chest and let them have what we want to give them. It's easy to deliver sharp words without any consideration of where the person is, and it's easy to deliver straight talk without even caring for the person. Listen to this. You're never going to deliver to somebody a rebuke that will be effective unless you first have loved them. And people know it. People know it when you love them. Your straight talk will never be effective unless it's in the confines of a relationship where the person knows that, well, they really care about me. But likewise, it's also a mistake to think that all a person ever needs from us is syrup and honey. That somehow we think that, well, if I just keep being sweet and kind and gentle and tender with them, that will somehow give them what they need. No, by being sweet and syrupy with people, you can have a nice, pleasant, smiling relationship with them and have some emotional bonds with them, but you'll never really help them unless you speak the truth. You can't knife someone into the right path. And the truth oftentimes has an edge to it and it stings. But the truth is what we all need. And when John describes Jesus coming, he describes Him as one full of grace and truth. And how blessed we are to have a Lord who is also our Savior. And how blessed we are to have a Savior who was willing to be our Lord. How blessed we are that He cares enough about us to tell us what we need to hear. How blessed we are that when we are the most vulnerable and sensitive and hurting, that He's there with a tender touch. That even in the midst of His straight talk, it's wrapped in love. And that tender touch is more effective because it's authentic. Because it comes from the one who speaks the truth. And that's what makes Him great. Because He is the source, He is the demonstration of, He is the personification of unconditional love, and He's also the example in the completion of unconditional truth. He is tender and He's truthful. That's what we need from Jesus. That's what we should seek from Jesus. And that's what we need to be and what we need to share, following after His own example. Well, please prepare for the invitation song that Adam is going to lead us in just a moment. Christ calls us to confront that we are apart from God, separated from Him, but how that there is good news that He has provided a way to God. If there is a soul here who is ready to obey the gospel, who believes that Jesus is the Christ and is willing to make that known by confession and turn toward Him and follow His truthful way, He will be tender and loving and patient with you every step. And today you can begin that relationship by being baptized into Christ. You can begin to follow after Him, being willing to commit, understanding that it's going to be a challenge to follow what He wants you to follow, but understanding that He is the complete great one, and you'll experience blessings and love like you've never experienced, even into eternity. If you're prepared to respond to the call of the gospel, won't you make it known by coming forward as we stand and sing.